Greetings. This is Justin Allen, the Elite Nurse Practitioner. Welcome to the Elite Nurse Practitioner Show, a podcast dedicated to nurse practitioner entrepreneurism and achieving financial freedom, where I talk directly with nurse practitioners who need help. Listen up. Our market is saturated. Jobs can be scarce. We are underpaid. We are undervalued. We are taken advantage of by the sharks within the healthcare system, and frankly, screw that, sick of it, and it's time for a change. And listen, I'm here to help make that happen. We are powerful. We can forge a path where we are in control of our career and ultimately our financial and personal well-being. You do not need to submit to healthcare administrators and your doctor overlords. You do not have to take the measly salary. You do not have to work 50 to 60 hours a week. There is a different way, and I'm here to show you that path. This podcast is raw and unfiltered. I have not talked to the nurse practitioners in this podcast prior to the call outside of an email exchange to schedule the episode. What you're about to listen to is a consultation session between a nurse practitioner and myself. It is real, it is unscripted, it is unplanned, and I have no idea what we're going to talk about. Anything and everything can happen during our conversation. The nurse practitioners in these episodes are struggling with an issue in their professional or financial life, and they have reached out to me for help. My goal is to help the nurse practitioner with actionable advice that will enhance and improve their professional, business, and financial life. My other goal is to hopefully help my nurse practitioner sisters and brothers build a more productive, powerful, and free life. So I hope the content and information within these podcast episodes does just that. All right, on to the episode. Hello, everyone. Today, we'll be talking to Nicole and Robert. Nicole is an acute care nurse practitioner, and Robert is an LPN. Nicole is currently working full-time at a ketamine clinic, and Robert is working at a senior living facility as an executive director. They both are opening a med spa and will be offering a variety of services, including IV infusion, hormone replacement therapy, aesthetics, and a few other services. They're needing assistance with the startup process, regulatory considerations, and a general plan for success. Hey, guys, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks for hopping on here. So interesting podcast today. So two people. Quick question. Are you guys married? Are you guys just friends or what?
Yes, we're married. We've been married for about 5 years now.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. So husband, wife duo. So Okay, cool. So you guys are wanting to start a med spa. So Nicole's a nurse practitioner and Robert is an LPN. So tell me a little bit about yourselves. What you guys have been doing in terms of work goes and just kind of your just general experience.
Yeah. So I've been a nurse practitioner since 2019. My primary background, both nurse practitioner and RN, was in acute care. So ICUs, trauma units, that kind of thing. As a nurse practitioner, I spent most of my time in as a hospitalist. Just kind of that day in, day out of, seeing really terrible things, really sick people gets really wearing on you. So really found the aesthetic side of things, a lot better of an option, a lot more relaxing, that kind of thing. And I've been doing aesthetics pretty much since I became a nurse practitioner, but, finally decided to take the step to go full time with it. And then.
Yeah. Okay.
As for me, I've been an LPN for about 10 years and I've done, dabbled in a little bit of everything that LPNs can do, from corrections to skilled nursing facilities, to sales, marketing, different things like that. I kind of worked my way up and got my licensure to do administrative things, became an administrator about 8 years ago, and then have just kind of stayed in operations and leadership roles since then. And eventually, now I've been working in senior living and, the senior living industry for probably the last 5 years. So, that's what I've been doing. And, Nicole and I have kind of had a 5-year plan. And since she became a nurse practitioner, I've been wanting to kind of start looking towards opening our own business and working for ourselves. So the opportunity arose, and we met some good people here in Medford, Oregon, and she got an opportunity to work with a doctor and his wife here, and got a good opportunity, and it kind of aligned with our goals here, and here we are.
Okay. So are you guys partnering with someone for this practice, or are you guys doing this yourself?
For our practice specifically, no, it's just him and I, but we are kind of unofficially partnering with the ketamine clinic. So we're going to be in close proximity and possibly even sharing the same space if we can work it out geographically.
Okay, gotcha. So you guys will not be sharing equity or anything like that, right?
Not at this time, no.
No, okay. Well, don't. Yeah, never share equity with anyone, okay? It's your business, okay? You want to make sure that you own the business, all right? So just be very careful during during this process over the next couple of years in terms of partnerships and those kinds of things. So just be very wary. Don't give away your business to people. Don't give away your equity, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just going to end up causing resentment. It's just going to piss you off. You know, 5 years from now, you're going to be like, God, I wish I would 100% of this, you know? So just keep that in mind. So anyways, okay, cool. So what are you guys wanting to start exactly?
I think it'd be good to start just kind of, you know, we're just starting up. So, you know, we're trying to figure out, you know, obviously what is the best, you know, I listened to all of your marketing and things like that. And that's really good information. We've implemented a lot of those things. But you know, opening day, like just kind of the flow, like, you know, the specials and the offers, I kind of have everything, you know, set up, you know, have a grand opening party a week before, offering people, you know, hey, come in, you know, since you attended the party, here's 20% off, or get a free, you know, IM injection or that kind of thing. But you know, I don't want to get myself into a situation where, okay, I've offered all that, I'm just basically giving stuff away. But you know, what tips do you kind of have for that, you know, your first month, or what to offer to get people in, that kind of thing?
Sure. Okay. So first off, what services are you guys offering exactly?
Right now we're going to be offering IV infusions. So, you know, vitamin infusions, you know, those type of things, cocktails, sure. Vitamin injections, and Botox and filler right now.
Okay. Gotcha. And you're going to be doing hormone replacement therapy a little bit later.
Yep. So the hormone replacement therapy and concierge medicine, I'm going to start offering, next year.
Okay. Gotcha. Any reason why you're wanting to skip out on the hormone replacement therapy?
Just because I wanted to, you know, this was a lot right now, and trying to get everything perfected with that. And I'm not too familiar with the hormone replacement therapy. So I wanted to just kind of get everything going, before I got into something a little bit more, not necessarily risky, but a little bit more involved. You know, once I got focused on a little bit more.
Gotcha. Okay. So my first piece of advice for you is going to be, weight loss and hormone replacement therapy. I would make it a priority to implement those services into the practice as fast as possible, because it's the most, those are the most profitable services you can offer. Okay. And the reason why is because of the time involvement for them. So when you do aesthetics or you do an IV infusion, you're spending a lot of face time, you know, with the patient, you're mixing bags, you're drawing up syringes, like it's a little bit more laborsome. All right. Mm. From a business standpoint, hormone replacement therapy and weight loss, both of those are very hands-off for the most part. So you make recurrent, partially passive income without really having to do much. Okay. Mm. So for an IV infusion, for example, you charge someone, let's just say $150 for one infusion. The amount of time involved that takes you and Robert to do that IV infusion, mixing the bags, keeping track of inventory, hanging the IV, starting the IV, managing the IV, disconnecting the IV, having the patient stay for 15 minutes after the IV to take vital signs, et cetera. You're looking at probably an hour, hour and a half per patient. Okay. Mm-hmm. When you could spend an hour, hour and a half per patient for hormone replacement therapy or weight loss in an entire year and make $150 a month. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah.
So the time involvement, you know, if you want to scale a business and grow a business, be thinking about some services that are a little bit more, you know, less time intensive. So that'd be my first piece of advice for you. So don't skip out on those kinds of things. And, you know, even Robert could provide some services within that. He could be more of like a health coach and can talk to patients for follow-ups, you know, do a lab review with them. and provide some general guidelines, some recommendations on treatment based off of some standing orders or something that you, you know, that you provide as well. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be mm-hmm. as hands-on for you either. So just food for thought, something to consider. Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. But in terms of your question though, the first month, my biggest piece of advice for you is just to be patient and have mm-hmm. realistic expectations. So right. you might kill it or it might be slow as hell.
Right.
You're just really not going to know until you really jump into it. You know, you're in the startup phase right now. I'm sure you've told people about it and I'm sure you've had a lot of promises and a lot of people say, oh yeah, we're going to be there. We're interested. Right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, people talk.
Right.
Yeah. You know, 75% of those people will never show up. Okay. Mm-hmm. So just keep that in mind. All right. So just have realistic expectations going in. If you have realistic expectations going in, you won't be, you won't be severely disappointed and you might not lose that motivational momentum that you need to keep going. A lot mm-hmm. of people get really down the first month or two because business is a lot slower than they were anticipating. Mm-hmm. So just go into it with a little bit more realistic expectations. All right.
Right.
Yeah. The second thing though, in terms of getting patients through the door, yeah, you could do a party or a grand opening or whatever, but I never have. People that have done those things, you know, it's either it does really well or like kind of no one really shows up. It's kind of a waste of time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you could try it. If you have a lot of people signing up for it and whatnot, then, you know, go for it. Get some people in the door and, you know, provide some free injections, provide some discount cards or whatever, you know, provide some food, some wine or whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll really draw in some people, but I don't think that's going to be a huge win, unless you just have, you know, 30, 40 people interested in doing it. How are you going to advertise that? How are you going to get people in the door for that?
Yeah. So we, I had a printout of a flyer for the party that had all the information on it. And, Robert does a lot of marketing, anyway for his, position. So he's been taking the marketing role with that, going to gyms, going to, the country club, going to, medical facilities, GNC, that kind of thing. And they've been really receptive. They've taken our cards, they've put our flyers out, and that kind of thing. So, and then just, word of mouth, I'm giving it to my kids to give to their teachers. They've told them all about it. We're right next door to a massage therapy place, that does, and also does like eyelashes and makeup and that kind of thing. And they're having a princess party for little girls this weekend. So they're like, oh yeah, give us those. There's going to be about 30 moms here. They'll love it. Let me hand some of those out. So, I feel like that going pretty well. We're also getting a roadside sign that we're going to have out, like an A-frame with balloons on it, whatever. When it's actually going, so people driving the road can be like, oh, what's this? Let me stop and check it out, that kind of thing.
Okay. That should work. I'm sure you'll get some people in the door for that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I say just go ahead and just do that, moving forward, that's going to bring some patients in the door, I'm sure, but moving forward, let's talk about how you're actually going to get some patients, on an ongoing basis. Right. So talk to me about the location that you're at first. Do you have roadside frontage?
No, we are just off of a main road, but the building itself doesn't. It's like a row, kind of like a shopping center. Not really though, but like kind of set up like that, but it doesn't face the road. It faces the parking lot, but it's right off of a busy road. So you can see it. We have a monument sign. So you can technically see the front of it from the road, but it's not road front per se.
Okay. But the sign is visible.
Right.
Right. Okay. That's really all that matters. As long as there's a sign, how big of a sign do you have for this?
So it's just on the monument. So it's just, there's a bunch of other,
just a little.
Yeah.
Sign.
But like I said, we are getting that A-frame sign. Now I don't know if the city is going to come and be like, nope, we can't have that here, but we're going to try it, until they take it.
Good. Yeah. Do that. Just do and ask for forgiveness later. That's
right. And we're also going to take a chain and put it around the little, like the post of the monument. And that way they at least have to come find us before they take it.
Sure. For sure. Do that. Do all that. I've done all that before. I put flags out, signs, even though they told me I couldn't, whatever. I'll just do it until they basically tell me I really can't do it. You know,
that's what I'm going to do. Ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
Just ask for forgiveness. That's kind of business for you. Okay. Like one big piece of advice I have to give you guys in terms of business goes is just do and ask for forgiveness later if something happens. Like, as long as you're not killing people or committing fraud, you know, right. you're not going to jail or getting, you know, any fines or anything. Like, don't worry about it. It's most times gonna be a little slap on the wrist, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. So I'd say do that. Definitely get some flags, get some signs, whatever you got to do to put on the road. That's, you know, that's pretty much free. You guys are going to optimize your Google business listing, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We've already got that up and going.
Okay. Prioritize reviews. Get as many reviews on there as you possibly can. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so important. People really don't put the amount of work into reviews on their Google business listing. It's so critically important. So make sure you're doing that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. You want to try to get like 30, 40, 50 reviews in the first just few months, if you can, like as many reviews as you possibly can.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, cool. So if you do that, you got some roadside frontage, you're doing a little, a little party or whatever. Actually you get some patients in the door. What about competition in your area for this kind of thing? Is there a lot of competition?
There's not really, this part of Oregon, it's very affluent. People do have a lot of money here and in a lot of parts, but they're kind of all natural, which for this is kind of good, but there's not a lot of, there's not a lot of competition. There are a couple of places that are doing it, but mainly there is one that is a brick and mortar. The other, I think there's only one other, and they are mobile only. So I think there's about two, and we're doing both brick and mortar and mobile. So, and as far as like Botox injections and that kind of thing go, there is more competition with that, but still not a lot.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, that sounds reasonable. I mean, people are going to be looking for these things, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they're going to be looking for it. So just make yourself easily found. What services are you guys really wanting to focus in on here?
I didn't mention that earlier, but we are actually already offering the weight loss packages. Obviously that's going to bring in the money, kind of like you said. But kind of the brick and mortar, I guess, of what it's going to be is the IV infusions. I feel like, we can sell a lot more of those than pretty much anything else. Although I would like to, do a lot of the aesthetics. I would like to really get the concierge medicine up and going, because that in itself is really going to be profitable, because there's not really a lot of cost with that. In doing it. But
like concierge primary care?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like cash-based primary care. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It can be profitable or it can't. It just depends on what the demand is for it. Right. Some people can do really good with a DPC kind of practice, right? Primary care concierge. And some people just, it doesn't really amount to a whole lot.
Right.
I don't know if I would focus too much on concierge care versus, other things like weight loss or hormone replacement therapy or something. I really feel like that's where you're going to make more of your money.
Right.
Yeah. So just, again, keep that in mind. IV infusion. So if that's going to be kind of your main focus. The thing about IV infusion, now keep this in mind, is that a lot of patients with IV infusion, it's a one-time thing. They come and see you once every 6 months or something, or they'll see you once and you'll never see them again kind of a thing. Okay. So your goal is to really try to get people locked into some sort of like membership or subscription.
Right.
Okay. You really need that recurrent income. All right. So,
yeah. And I do have a package set up. It's, receive 4 infusions in a month for a set price, 1 a week. That may be too close together. But, you know, and make it non-refundable. You know, you have to pay for the subscription up front, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, have a couple different options. Have, you know, weekly, bi-weekly, monthly, you know, have a couple options.
Okay.
How about for you, like in your experience, you've mentioned hormones quite a bit and packaging stuff for you. Like, what has been something that you've found to be very successful on your side of things?
Hormone replacement therapy and weight loss. Okay. There are a few people that I know who really do very, very well with IV. Most people don't make a lot of money with IV. Again, because of the time commitment it takes. Right. You could make more money doing other things. You just can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Specifically with hormones, are you referring to like testosterone?
Yeah, testosterone, bioidentical hormones for females, estrogen, progesterone, et cetera.
Okay.
And because of those things, I know this is kind of getting into the weeds a little bit, but because those things are like narcotics. Controlled substances. Those require a little bit more like special handling and all that. And you have to, there's more required things that you have to do to get set up for that, right?
No, not really. I mean, you don't have to actually administer anything in your office if you don't want to. You can just order from a compounding pharmacy and have it shipped to a patient's house. It's just like ordering a med through a pharmacy. Like, you never even have to. There's no other really regulations surrounding that than just a normal practice.
Oh, okay.
Now, would you suggest a combination, you know, offering pellets, offering injections?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. 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 Like, you know, you guys say you want to open up a med spa wellness practice kind of a thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're just doing IV and you're just doing aesthetics right now, pretty much. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's more of like a, you know, more of like an aesthetics kind of med spa. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people are looking for these other services. And the thing is, if there's not a whole lot of competition for those services in your area, you're leaving a lot of money on the table. All right. Yeah. Like a lot of money, like 50% of your income could be coming from those two services alone.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I mean, there is a lot of places here in this part of Oregon offering hormone therapy, but it's not for hormone replacement therapy. There's not a lot of competition for that.
What about weight loss?
You know, I haven't even heard of any place around here doing that. So,
okay. I'm sure there are some people doing weight loss, you know, but, you know, the people who do IV infusions and aesthetics, they're going to be interested in these other things as well.
Right. Okay.
So
getting that up and running as quickly as possible. I guess, you know, I don't know anything about hormone replacement therapy and I've never done it. So just trying to find a good, you know, I emailed you about your classes. I know you have one or you have a couple listed, you know, but is those, unless I'm wrong, are more towards just the pellets. Is that right? Or
No. So we have there's an entire course about pellets alone. And then we have other courses about the actual hormone replacement therapy. You know, the other modalities. Pellets are just one modality. Then the other ones are creams, injections, you know, PO meds, etc. Yeah. So I wouldn't lock yourself into one or the other. You really should, you know, as a med spa wellness practice, you probably should be offering all of those. Okay. Yeah. It's really not that hard of a thing to learn. I mean, to be honest with you, like I've said this before multiple times. I think managing hypertension or diabetes is more complicated than doing hormone replacement therapy.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not that difficult. You check a lab. Is it low, normal? You prescribe them some hormone. You get it back up to the normal, high, normal range, and you monitor them. That's literally it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not that. It's not difficult at all.
And you can just send them to an outside lab to check those or do
have
lab services in office and charging for that.
Yeah, both. I think you should do both options. You know, I think that you should have a cash-based option in office for the labs. If patients want to pay cash, draw the labs in office, and then you basically just pop them in an envelope and send them, you know, via UPS to whatever lab that you choose. Or you can just give them a prescription for the labs, send them over to LabCorp or Quest Diagnostics down the street or whatever, have the lab work done there, and then have them bill the patient or have them, you know, bill their insurance or whatever, and you don't even have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a pretty simple process.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then weight loss too is not that difficult either. It's really not, you know, talk about diet, talk about exercise, you're prescribing semaglutide or phentermine or whatever. You have them come in every month for a few months, make sure they're losing weight, follow up with them every 3 months after that. Like it's really not that difficult of a thing. I didn't have any experience doing it. I just started doing it. I read some guidelines, took a class, started doing it. It's really not that hard.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, for what you guys are doing now, you guys are opening when?
October 16th.
October 16th. Okay. So we recorded this September 20th, 21st, 2023. And so you're opening up in about 3 weeks.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, obviously I'm not going to say, hey, hold off until you do these other things, right? Go ahead and open up and just put coming soon on your website and then have mm-hmm. a page coming soon, hormone replacement therapy, men's hormones, women's hormones, mm-hmm. coming soon, weight loss or whatever. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then when patients come in, have coming soon, you know, hey, then the next month or two, we're going to be offering these services as well.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So I would say make that a priority. Okay. But obviously, you know, your priority right now should be, as well as just getting patients in the door and, you know, start generating some income. Right.
Right.
And just figuring out your workflow, you know, figuring out the kinks, basically. There's always going to be some ups and downs, some problems you're going to have to, cross, some speed bumps you got to cross over. So, you know, I think this is a good start, but make sure you prioritize those things a little bit later.
Okay.
Yeah. So in terms of marketing goes, you know, you got the party, you got a good Google business listing, lots of reviews. You could do a couple Google search ads if you wanted to, you know, anyone typing in, you know, IV infusion, aesthetics or whatever, you can do a Google search ad and see if you pop up. Go into Google, put some keywords in like aesthetics, Botox, IV infusion, nutrient infusion, et cetera. And then that way, when people search for that in Google, your clinic pops up through that Google, through that Google search ad function.
Okay.
You can do like $500 to $1,000 a month on that if you want to. Okay.
Right.
I think I would just focus on that for the time being and put those signs out. I think that's all I would do the first month. Don't do too much. When you start doing all kinds of different marketing channels and gimmicks and things, it's hard to keep track of stuff. And you know, it just might be a little too much. I mean, you both are going to continue working full time, right?
Yeah. 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 Well, he's pretty much going to be taking over this. But I'll be continuing to work full time, at the ketamine clinic.
Yeah. Okay. From a financial standpoint, how are you guys going to, you know, how are you guys doing in terms of like, you know, are you needing this to generate income ASAP to pay bills, or are you guys good for a while?
We're good for a little bit, but really, you know, we didn't have a lot of reserve to start this up. So we have had to, you know, get a business credit card and kind of put it on that. But you know, we have other things that we do. We have Airbnb, that kind of thing. So, you know, we're good for a couple of months with getting this up and going. But after that, we need to really be making some income with it.
Sure. Okay. I mean, I think you will be, you know, I mean, I think it'll start paying for itself in, you know, 2 or 3 months. All right.
Right. Right.
Then again, though, you never know. Like, you could start this and it could just take off. I mean, I've seen that happen before, you know. So just keep that in mind, guys. You know, kind of continue living below your means if you can, and just be as frugal as possible here, because it might be a few months before you actually start generating any kind of, you know, money that you can start taking out to pay your personal bills if you needed to. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Gotcha. So, that all sounds reasonable. I think just do that for the first month or two and don't complicate it.
So as far as the space goes, so, you know, we haven't really done any like secret shopping or anything like that, if you will. And I've never actually gone to an infusion clinic before, but, you know, just looking at pictures, you know, I kind of see that most places it's kind of just an open area, bunch of chairs, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, in your podcast, you're like, it doesn't have to be anything fancy, just, or not podcast, but your class, just, you know, put a few chairs out there, that kind of thing. You know, but I'm just kind of like, oh gosh, is it awkward to be sitting? Cause I have kind of a big room, that we're going to be putting chairs in, but it's still a room. It's separate from the rest. Cause you know, I'm going to have a room dedicated to aesthetics, room dedicated to, you know, concierge, that kind of thing. But So then Fusion Room is just kind of like a big office, basically. But are people going to want dividers, or do you see that people really don't care sitting there kind of staring at each other? Should I put a TV in there? You know, what do you suggest?
You know, make it as comfortable as possible, right? It doesn't have to be super fancy, you know, like you mentioned. Yeah. How many chairs were you wanting for your infusion room? What'd you say?
Well, we're going to have 4 to 5.
4 to 5. And how close together are those going to be?
3 feet apart.
About 3 feet apart?
3 to 4 feet apart, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And are you using, are you just going to be doing like recliners or something?
Yeah,
we have some nice recliners we got.
Just some nice recliners, yeah. I think that's fine. I don't think you need to do anything else other than that. I mean, I think that's reasonable. I don't think people are expecting to come in and be at and have a private experience.
Yeah. Well, we are going to have a room because, you know, I thought for the NAD infusion, since we do kind of have a smaller infusion area with just the 4 to 5 chairs, and we'll be doing NAD and, you know, also kind of leading over from the ketamine clinic, if it works out geographically, like the pain infusions for that, just those kind of infusions that are really long. We will have a private room. And then if people want to utilize that, you know, we're going to make a little package for that. Like, okay, we don't have any NADs or ketamine scheduled for this day. It's available, you know, pay an extra, I don't know, $20 or something like that. And you can have a private room. Have
some
wine or whatever.
No, that's reasonable.
I also thought, since it is kind of a smaller room and it's not just out in the open, in my Botox room, where I have like kind of the medical chair, have people go in there first, do the quick assessment, because basically every patient is going to be a new patient. So I'm going to have to do a quick assessment, get the IV started in there, and then have them go in the infusion room, just so, you know, we're not in there starting IVs and doing all that with everybody already in there infusing. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds reasonable. You know, you don't have someone in there passing out, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
You know, freaking out over the IV and, you know, crying because it hurts and, you know, those sorts of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's okay. That makes sense. You know, have a TV, make it comfortable. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. Just, you know, just good vibe, you know, go into it, sit down yourself and be like, okay, I got a good vibe in here. Something mm-hmm. feels off, fix it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. And that's what I always did. I always just went in, sat down when I, you know, started a new practice, go into the waiting room or whatever, or the exam room, sit down and kind of look around and be like, okay, this feels okay. You know, if something just feels a little off about it, then obviously fix it. But I mean, it sounds like you got it.
Okay. As far as like the scheduling platform that you have seen, you know, has been really user friendly. I know that, you know, you mentioned as far as like charting, options that are out there, but, I'm finding, you know, when I book things, most places seem to use like Vigaro. And I found that, you know, it's pretty user-friendly. I got it all set up. Have you seen, you know, have you used that before? And if not, do you have, you know, a platform that you really like?
No, I've never heard of that. I just use the EMR's scheduling function.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I just use it. As far as payment, you just take it like from
I don't take payments through EMRs. Mm-hmm. I like to have a separate payment processor. Just I feel like it has a little bit more functionality to it. You know, more detailed reports, and it's separate from the EMR in case you ever want to change your EMR or change your payment processor. It's just easier. Mm-hmm. So I just use the EMR for scheduling.
Okay.
Yeah. I use Simple Practice. I've been using Simple Practice at my men's health clinic now for years. We're just used to it. It's such a simple EMR. It's so easy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what we use. OptiMantra is another good one. That's kind of niche clinic focused. Some people like JNAP's, pretty good one too. So it's really up to you. My advice for you though is if you're going to be using a separate scheduler, see if it integrates with the EMR. I doubt it will. Mm-hmm. So you're basically looking at another step. So people schedule on the, you know, the separate scheduling app.
Now you had to open that up to look at the schedule and then open up your EMR to chart and that kind of a thing. We could all just be in your EMR.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And as far as scheduling goes, you mentioned kind of plan for, you know, between doing the assessment and getting the IV and getting vitals and cleanup, that kind of thing, about an hour and a half.
Yeah. For the full shebang. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then with, I, you know, was thinking maybe staggering people by about 15 minutes. Would you say that that's reasonable as far as, you know, like, okay, I have somebody in, I'm going to, you know, get the assessment done, start their IV, mix the bag, get them going, and then on to the next one.
Yeah, I think 15, 20 minutes should be okay, especially once you start getting, you know, kind of getting your little swing, you know, you kind of start getting the workflow down, that kind of a thing. I think that's reasonable.
Okay.
Yeah.
So as far as supplies, you know, outside of the normal, you know, like your tubing and your, you know, syringes and things like that, are pressure bags necessary? I've seen some pictures of MediSpas. That's actually where I was like, oh, wait, I guess maybe I need some pressure bags. But do you use those? Do you see a need for that?
Nah, you know, most infusions, we just do it wide open, or, you know, we just use the little dial dripper. We don't even have, you know, electric IV pumps, you know, just open it, you know, wide open takes 30 minutes, usually 15 to 30 minutes, depending on the infusion. You know, it's just for a really simple infusion, you know, just wide open is fine. So it just really depends on what it is that you want to do. I would say the majority of IVs that we do are about 30 to 45 minutes, you know, put the dial to like, you know, half open or something like that and just let it just drip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you use like pigtail saline locks, anything like that, or just the little like attachment for?
Yeah. To be able to, yeah. Know. Yeah. Just the kit.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. I don't like complicating it. You know, it's just a simple vitamin infusion.
Right.
And the thing is too, is, you know, you're supposed to mix it underneath the hood and do all this kind of stuff. And, I find it just to be a pain in the ass. So, anymore what we do for the most part is, you know, we'll put one or two ingredients in the bag and then we'll just IV push the rest of it.
Right. That was my next question. Is there really, you know, because most things can be, go IV push.
Almost. Yeah. A lot of them can, you know, and to be blunt with you, like I do more vitamin injections than infusions anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's such a pain in the ass mixing this stuff and just, I don't know. I personally just find it a pain in the ass. I would just rather just give them an injection. Here's a B complex injection. Here's an NAD injection. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
That's what I do anymore.
Yeah. Because once you start pulling up everything and correct me if I'm wrong, it all has to be in separate syringes, right? Or
it's supposed to be. Yeah.
Yeah. And,
Yeah. You know, most IV infusions, you know, most people are feeling the benefit from the fluids.
Uh-huh.
You know, so, you know, just take that for what it is. I mean, most people get the benefit from the fluids. Like,
right.
You know, then you can just give a couple injections. Like anymore, the majority of injections that I give at my practice are glutathione, alpha lipoic acid, NAD, B12. B complex, vitamin D. That's pretty much what we do 95% of the time anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did have a question kind of surrounding a couple of those medications that you mentioned. So as far as the glutathione goes, you know, I noticed when I was ordering it from the pharmacy that you can get like the one-time use vial or the 30 mil vial, and the 30 mil vial is way cheaper than the one-time use. And when I asked them about it, they said that as soon as you pierce the bottle, the glutathione oxidizes. Is that correct? Like across the board, or is that just kind of a pharmacy specific thing?
I'm really not too sure, to be honest with you. I haven't really heard that.
Yeah, I just thought maybe that's their way of getting you to buy the one-time use since it's more expensive.
Yeah, I honestly haven't heard that. What pharmacy said that?
Olympia.
Olympia. Okay. Yeah, like I haven't heard that before. Yeah, so I don't really have a comment to about it. It could be true. I haven't heard it. And most of glutathione injections that we do, it's mostly just the little one-time use things that we usually use anyways. I just don't give enough of them to justify buying, you know, a big old 30 ml bottle of it or whatever.
Right, right. And then also the NAD. So you, so if you're doing the high dose, that's when that needs to be over the, you know, either 2 hour or 4 hour infusion or whatever it is, but you can give the lower dose, like the 100 milligrams over, you know, 10 or so minute push. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Some people might feel a flush from that though. You know, they might get that, those weird side effects like shortness of breath and chest pain and stuff with it. Mm-hmm. Again, anymore, I just do injection. You know, 100 okay. milligram subcutaneous injection twice a week, almost for 95% of our patients. That's what we do anymore. So much easier. I don't want someone in my office for 4 hours. I just don't.
Right.
You know what I mean? I just don't like.
Yeah, sure. Makes sense. Okay. So you can give that sub Q injection. So as far as the weight loss injections go, you know, there's the lipomino, there's the lipo C, there's the MICC. What do you use or what do you find most helpful as far as that goes?
Semaglutide. Those other ones are just mostly a placebo, to be perfectly honest with you.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, these lipo injections and stuff. I'm sorry, you are not going to experience any kind of significant weight loss from those things. You're just not going to. You know,
right.
It gets a little boost of energy. It might, you know, increase the metabolism somewhat. Walking on a treadmill for 30 minutes probably increases your metabolism more than one of those does.
Okay.
You know, like I've never seen any kind of significant weight loss from those unless the patient is truly putting effort into diet and exercise. So sometimes those injections are really all the patient needs to give them that motivation to exercise and to diet. You know what I mean?
Right.
Right. But for those, it's not a magic. You're starting to get this injection, start losing weight. It's not going to do that whatsoever. You know, if you keep putting stuff in your face with hamburgers and garbage, it's not going to do that.
Right. Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. And then do you, I'm finding, you know, Olympia, I was able to get through right away, like a week, I think, after I gave them the information. Empower, you know, I submitted my stuff weeks ago and they're, you know, they say they have like up to 6 to 8 week processing time. So I'm finding trouble getting selenium actually, because Olympia doesn't have it. And a few of the cocktails I was wanting to use has it. Do you have any suggestions where else that I could get that?
Yeah, I believe we were getting it from Empower at one time when I was doing it, but I haven't ordered that in a year and a half or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just I don't get those infusions anymore. Like I said, I just really don't do a whole lot of infusions anymore.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I believe we've gotten it as well from like general medical suppliers like McKesson or Henry Schein before as well. So you're just gonna need to shop around a little bit. You can also get it from patient specific pharmacies as well, you know, like Innovation or Vertisis and those kinds of places. The problem is though, it's patient specific, right?
Right.
Right. So, you know, that's the problem with 503B and 503A pharmacies. You know, you can get most of these things quickly and in a timely manner and have great customer service from 503A pharmacies, but it's patient specific. And so it had to be one of those things that you would order for a patient who schedules the immune infusion a week from now or something, you know? Mm-hmm. So that would be something that would work a lot better for those times that patients are on like a subscription model, a membership kind of a thing. Yeah, we want to have the immune infusion monthly. Great. I'm going to order a couple of vials and have it kind of on hand. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, that was kind of one of my questions also. So as far as like startup medications and supplies, do you just kind of wing it and guess like how much you need? I mean, I guess Olympia is pretty quick about getting things when you order it, but you know.
Yeah. We typically recommend that you'd have enough for about 20 infusions. Okay. About that amount. If the shipping time is pretty quick with Olympia right now, then you could always order more, a week later, you're like, oh, wow, we're doing pretty well. Yeah. So my advice for you is to stick to about four of your main infusions. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then that's what you're going to buy those 24. The other ones can be a little bit more specialty things. And you would just tell patients, we typically schedule those, the immune boost we schedule, or, the weight loss one we schedule, or whatever it is that you decide on. Okay. Mm-hmm. The general ones like the Myers, for example, is always going to be a hit. The energy one's always going to be a hit, the weight loss one's typically a hit as well,
Right.
So if you're an aesthetics practice, like the Skin Glow one, the one for the nails and stuff that's biotin in it, that's going to be probably a hit as well. So you would do like those four infusions to have the majority of infusions for those things. And then you could mix and match stuff as well. And you can always just, do some custom ones too. Okay. You're interested in energy. Great. We're going to do an IV infusion. We're going to put B complex in it. We're going to give you an NAD shot at the end. That's going to give them energy. You don't have to do everything else.
Right. Okay. I
mean? Yeah. Yeah. And selenium as well, you could just have them take PO selenium. I take almost all my vitamins by mouth and I haven't been sick in, been a long time really. So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. The PO absorption is, it's going to be less and you're not going to get the bioavailability as fast as possible. But if you're taking vitamins on a regular basis, mm-hmm. It's going to be superior than an IV.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Do you have anything else?
No, I think I'm good.
Yeah. I hope I didn't talk you guys out of IV.
I'm kind of talking to Robert about that the other day when because we've been kind of trying everything out just to make sure it's not terrible or something really weird happens, but honestly I haven't really noticed anything, but maybe that's just just me. But yeah. We did an NAD infusion and that seemed to help Robert a little bit.
I felt good for like a day, and the glutathione. Yeah. We did a glutathione IV push.
Yeah.
I felt good like immediately for like 30 minutes. But that's all I really felt initially.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of it's the placebo, a lot of it's the fluids, to be honest with you, it just is. You have to be getting this stuff on a regular basis for it to have truly impactful differences in someone's health. Yeah. A weight loss infusion, it's going to accelerate their metabolism a little bit, but unless you're getting that, every 3 or 4 days, is it really going to be that impactful?
Right.
Probably not. You could prescribe someone a 2-month cycle of phentermine. That's going to provide, that's going to provide weight loss. The semaglutide or whatever, like those things are going to produce weight loss, So keep that in mind. What IV infusion is great for is a hangover, right?
Right.
You're hungover. You feel like shit. You come in for an IV, you give someone a bag of fluids with some magnesium, some B complex, you give them a shot of Zofran and some Pepcid. They're going to feel a hell of a lot better. Right.
Right.
Right. Someone's sick, give them a little immune booster, give them an IV infusion, they're going to feel better. Right. Mm-hmm. That's where I think IV infusion truly provides benefit from just doing one every once in a while, just for the hell of it. I just don't know if it's going to do much for you. That's why I like to do the NAD sub Q. You do it mm-hmm. twice a week. It truly does help give you a little bit more sustained energy levels. And then you add that with hormone replacement therapy for a man or a woman who's hormone deficient or has, low normal hormones, the difference mm-hmm. in their life is night and day.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you get a patient for life or for patient for a long time. Right.
Right.
Yeah. So keep that in mind. The IV infusion is a great bait. It's a great hook to throw out in the ocean around you to, hook patients basically. Right.
Right.
Get them in the door for the IV infusion and then get them on something else. do lab work on them, convince them that you're going to do some lab work. You're going to do a wellness panel on them. You're going to look at their growth hormone, their thyroid, their sex hormones. You're going to be looking at all of this stuff, their vitamin D levels, et cetera. Right. And then you can find deficiencies and you can treat them. And then they truly do feel a difference because you're providing them a something that's going to be more of a long-term thing. That makes sense.
Right.
Yeah. 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 So, yeah. So go into this realistic expectations at first for the first couple of months. Okay. Don't spend a significant amount of money on marketing yet would be my biggest piece of advice for you until you can start bringing in a couple other services that will help build that more recurrent patient base, that recurrent passive income versus a one-time IV treat and street kind of a thing.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So any other questions?
I don't think so.
No. Thank you. That was very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So if you guys have any other questions, you can always shoot me an email. I'd always love to do a follow-up, a few months from now, if you want to, you guys got my email. I'd be more than happy to. Yeah. Right. Well, I like to end the episode with you asking me a question. So, personal question for me, any kind of curiosities that you might've had?
Curiosities.
Yeah, curiosity, something about just my personal life, how I started, anything basically.
Yeah. I mean, what so you're running a men's health clinic right now. Prior to that though, were you working in, before you started doing all this, were you working in a hospital? Or what was your
plan? Yeah. So became a nurse practitioner 2012, 2013. And pretty much predominantly worked urgent care and emergency medicine, basically. Mm-hmm. So I'm a family nurse practitioner. So worked ER, worked urgent care, did a little Suboxone, on the side as well. And then first practice I opened up was a Suboxone clinic. It did okay. I just didn't like it. So it kind of ended up in a little bit of a disaster, so to speak. Then I did medical cannabis clinic. Still do that today. And then started my men's health clinic, and I own two men's health clinics now. So, the men's health clinic is it's a great wellness kind of clinic, really. It's basically a wellness clinic for men, right? We do the IV infusions, the hormone replacement therapy, weight loss, we pretty much do a lot of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying about the hormone replacement therapy. It is a great recurrent income. I mean, we're up to $100,000 a month in gross income.
Yeah. And are you in a larger, metropolitan area or?
No, I'm pretty sure where I'm at, smaller than Medford.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice. But it's possible.
It's possible. You can do very, very well if there's 100,000 people in your general area. And I'm pretty sure there's more than that in Medford. So
yeah,
you can do very well. You can do well with these practices in a town of 10,000. I know some nurse practitioners in towns of 5,000 that are killing it.
Yeah. Because
they're the only show in town. They're the only person doing it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. So you guys should do okay if there's not a whole lot of competition in your area. And that's a growing area too. People from California are coming up and stuff. So get your feet established there, get the practice established, start offering multiple services. And I really could see in a couple of years, you guys doing very well.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome. You guys have best of luck and I'll talk to you guys later.
Hey,
okay.
Bye.
You. Awesome. Take care. Bye. All right. Hope everyone enjoyed the episode with Nicole and Robert. Pretty interesting topics there. They're starting an IV infusion clinic, aesthetics practice. And that's what the one thing that worries me, though, is only, doing IV predominantly in an area that also could need, other services too. She's saying that there's not a whole lot of people doing hormone replacement therapy, weight loss in her area. And so she would be leaving a lot of money and a lot of business on the table by not offering those services, okay? I've said this before, IV infusion is a great service. Do not get me wrong, it is. There are people who have 100% IV infusion clinics that do very well, okay? But there's a lot that don't, right? The problem with IV infusion is that it's laborsome, you know, an hour, hour and a half per patient. You only get paid per infusion. You can make more money doing other things. Weight loss and hormone replacement therapy, for example, you can make more money doing that. You can do more money doing anti-aging and peptides and those sorts of things. So your goal with the business, remember, is to not work as much in the business, okay? With IV infusion, you have to have an LPN or RN doing the infusions for you, so you're not working so much in it. But as a nurse practitioner, hormone replacement therapy, weight loss, anti-aging peptides, something that you only see the patients every 3 to 6 months for follow-up, that is a strong, partially passive income stream. And that's how you grow a business to, you know, $1 million plus a year. That's how you scale a business. All right. Hope everyone enjoys this episode. Talk to you guys later. Thanks. Bye. Thank you for listening to the show. Quick legal disclaimer. The content of this podcast is meant for informational and entertainment purposes only and should not be used as legal, financial, medical, regulatory, or practice-specific advice. For information pertaining to your specific legal, financial, medical, or practice-specific needs, please be sure to consult with your lawyer, CPA, medical director, and or your state's practice laws and the most up-to-date clinical guidelines. As always, do your due diligence when it comes to any information found online and in podcasts. The content in this podcast is copyrighted by Galaxy Medical Southwest 2023 and cannot be duplicated, rebroadcasted, or reproduced without our written permission.